You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Possibility means you have a chance.
Passion opens the door to all possibilities.
When I feel like anything's possible, I feel kind of giddy.
I want to be an astronaut,
an artist,
an actress.
To visit another country.
All I need is a backpack and a pair of shoes and I'll find a way.
I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
I've never felt like more things are possible than right now.
In the right shoes, anything's possible.
DSW, countless shoes at brag-worthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
With over 25 years of expertise, DAF Giving 360's donor advised funds can help you get a tax deduction and potentially grow your charitable dollars tax-free while you recommend when and where to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast. But this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast. Starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. Ha-ha.
The podcast starts.
You better wear a helmet now.
Oh, there we go. Wonder if it got me saying let's fire this bitch up.
I did that time.
All right, nice. All right,
makes me think of that Prodigy song.
Smack my bitch up. Yeah, what is it? Yeah. All right, well, as long as we're talking about smacking people, welcome to a new episode of the podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Oh, I'll be your host of podcasting, Ted Smith. All right, in the bottom box today on Zoom, somewhere in Austin, he goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Rumors of domestic violence obviously have shares of the podcast down in early training today. But no, I don't know. There's some crazy stuff going on in the world, boys. I'm really pumped to be here. We were off last week. I don't even remember why or what happened. But, you know, it sounds like we've all had an eventful couple weeks. So what's going on?
All right. Up there in the top square today, getting the studio all set up. Matt, Connor, the producer, MCTP. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted. Good to see you.
It is. Tell you what, boys, I'm on my grind today. Had a few days off, had to go back east, did a mega cast this morning, did the show, now pumping out of the podcast.
Wow, that grind set. Damn.
Back with a vengeance.
That right? Grind mindset. Are you lifting now too? Or no? Or just soccer?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean,
I didn't lift this morning.
That's so I was like, well, that would be really grinding, but I didn't get up that early.
Dude, you're really grinding. Honestly, just given the weather in Seattle right now, anybody who's still got their head above water, I'm impressed.
All right. So here's the deal. Yesterday was like beautiful, longest day of the year. Today was back to like 65. But this weekend, people in Seattle are already worried. It's going to be in the 80s and 90 on Monday. A heat wave's coming to town.
Oh, that's perfect. Yes. I'm heading up there in like 2 weeks. That's what we need. Turn it up, Maurice. I want to burn.
Yeah, I got in a sunburn on my head, but then this weekend definitely got some sun hanging out in Northern Virginia, working on my farmer's tan here, watching my nephew play baseball.
Yeah, you got some color, man.
Oh yeah, well, trust me, we had like we were back moving, like getting stuff out of my dad's house. We had to put him in a care facility, the Sunrise. But yeah, like we had crabs and stuff, had some beer Saturday evening. And then, you know, my nephew was playing at 9:30. I was like, well, I'm in town. Of course I'll go see him. As soon as we get there, I look at my brother and I go, did you have any sunscreen? He's like, no. And I'm like, damn it. Like, I know my pasty Seattle ass is going to burn.
Wow. I mean, I know it's kind of a sensitive subject, but Sunrise seems like a very ironic name for that place.
Dude, I'm glad you said that.
I was like, dude, I know it's a tough time right now, but I feel like sunset may be more apropos.
I'm with you, dude. I meant to make that joke to my brother like three times and never did.
Well, he listens to the cast, so he can hear it now. But yeah, it's just like, Sunrise? Really? For a retirement home? I don't know. Bad branding, man. Bad branding.
It's also funny as like, and reason why, right? There's a lot of really old people in there. So you got to like sign in and sign out and they got to like let you in the door. But like Saturday, we're just moving stuff in and out. And at one point I just kind of like walked through the door. You know, like when you press on like a door that is probably locked, but still lets you out. I'm like, oh crap. Was I supposed to ask for them to open the door? I just mess up this lock, but I think it was fine.
The alarm goes off. What do they call it? It's not the silver alert. It's like the,
I think it is alert. Silver alert.
Is this silver alert when like an old person has escaped?
Yeah. That's what I was saying too. And I was like, can you smuggle in food? Like, you don't have to smuggle it in. You can bring in food. I'm like, all right. Yeah, because there's amber alerts for children, and then I believe it's a silver alert for an older person.
That's wild to me. Did you know that the people who go find those people are actual, in Washington at least, are the search and rescue people? Like,
it doesn't shock me.
I know when you hear it, but I always pictured search and rescue people like, you know, hanging out of helicopters and like hiking into like the backwoods of the Cascades to try to like rescue somebody. Like, it seems weird that they would be just like searching behind the dumpsters at a Safeway looking for an old person. You know,
well, it's search and rescue. It's not just like, you know,
totally
rescue.
But like, that would not have been the group that jumped to mind. I would have been like, I don't know. There's probably like the police or some sort of like local, whatever. It's like, no, it's just like guys get the page, throw on their hiking boots and start, you know, perusing the Albertsons parking lot, whatever. I don't know. It just seems, that seems weird to me, but yeah.
Well, and like, I listen, right? Like I tell jokes for a living, right? So obviously that's kind of my default, but like all weekend as we're in and out of this place, I'm like, oh, Thursday, black and shrimp. Maybe I should stay a couple more days. Or I was like, you know, because me and my brother, every time we go in, we're saying hi to everybody. I said, do you know those people? He goes, no, I just figured why not be nice. Like a lot of these people are a little lonely in there. But there was like these two ladies that were sitting down there. They were very friendly. So I was like, Dad, you got to talk to the old chatty two that hang out front. I don't know. I was like, what do you mean you don't know? What else are we doing? Like, go talk to him.
Shoot your shot, man. Right. If not now.
Right. Like, literally, this is the time.
This is, yeah, you got nothing to lose, man. 25 seconds on the clock. Like, just throw it up.
Yeah, and like, what are you going to be embarrassed at breakfast tomorrow? They'll probably forget.
And honestly, God damn it. I hate that I know this. Sorry, Matt, for swearing. I almost don't want to say it, but in those, okay, I dated a girl who worked in one of those homes, and those residents get busy, if you know what I'm saying. I mean, we're talking like broken hips and stuff. Like for you think about like the bell curve of human survival rates, and like for a man to still be alive at like 85, like he is a very rare bird, and they just, you know, they get it done, and they got nothing to do. And I'll just sit there.
And at that point, like, I was going to say this to him. I'll say this on the cast. It's like, I know you're down. You're on a lot of prescriptions. Things might not work. Like, I tell you what, though, when's the last time you even cuddled a chick? Like, just chat them up. You know what I mean? Maybe you can get a pass to, like, sit next to each other at movie time. I don't know.
Oh, no, dude. It goes down, man.
Well, you know, the Villages in Florida, which is more of a retirement community, but the STDs down there are a massive deal. Like, because old people just, like, they can't get anybody pregnant, so they don't use condoms. And then it's just, like, running rampant.
Orgy, Ted. The word no one wanted to say is orgy. Okay, I'll say it. I'm just kidding. But for real, though, good for your dad. I'm proud of him. Excited for the future. Happy to be there.
Right. Like, get in there. Mix it up. Let's go.
You're going to go back there. He's going to have like a new tattoo and like a woman on his arm.
Cobb, you've flown recently. Matt, have you flown recently?
Nope.
It is a battle out there, boys.
God, yeah. Dude, thank you. Yes, it go ahead.
Unbelievable. I took a red eye, right? A 9:45 flight on a Thursday evening.
Yeah.
I got in the security line at 7:50 and barely made my flight.
Dude, I've been complaining about this. Yeah. I hate to be a negative Nancy, but it's insane.
Yeah, like it's to the point where it was so bad. I was like, I might actually have to write an email and be like, because there was more TSA workers. Like, somebody's got it. Like, come on. Like, people were missing their flights in line. And then this one couple goes up and goes to the TSA guy. They're like, it's like, you know, like you got a zigzag. And they're just like, hey, like our flight's leaving in 20 minutes. Can we skip the line? And they're like, oh, there's nothing we can do. You got to ask every individual passenger. So I was, at this point, I'm close enough to the front. I'm just like, get in front of us. Like, don't miss your flight. I'm just like, I don't know. Just, and then when I got up there, they finally put on a second guy to check boarding passes. And it's like, I mean, just customer service alone. Like, come on, we got to do something. Because then people get to the airline can't do anything. They can't help TSA. And when I flew out of Dulles, which is a much bigger airport, it only took 20 minutes. Like, I hate to shit on our own airport, but like SeaTac is terrible. And then even getting picked up there was a nightmare.
Dude, I'm with you. It's out of control. And my main issue, God, I hate when we just go negative on this cast, but it needs to be said. My main issue, honestly, is that we are paying for it, right? Like, there's a little tax on every flight that you take that pays for that security. They're incredibly inefficient. But then now they have the balls, Ted Smith, to be like, do you want to buy a pass? Do you want to pay us more money to get around this thing? And you're like, the terrorists are just going to buy the passes. Like, what, the terrorists don't have a fucking $100 a year? Like, get out of here. Like, this is security theater, and it's bullshit, dude. It's bullshit, man. This is like since 2001, and it's just like, what are we doing?
Right, TSA pre, I can fathom. But right, we're waiting in this line. They have one person working, and they keep going. If you sign up for Clear, it's 2 weeks free. And like, I'm just like, is this just a racket to sign up for that? I'm like,
yes, yeah. We are being extorted, Ted Smith.
It was brutal. Cobb, I'm not even kidding you. People were losing it. Babies Dude. Were crying. There was a couple, as I passed them, Matt, you're going to have to bleep out a lot tonight. As I passed them, I hear the guy finally turn to his girl and just goes, please stop talking to me. My phone's dead. I'm fucking annoyed. I'm about to say fuck it. By the time I pass them again, they're crawling out underneath the ropes. And he's like, screw it. We'll book another flight for tomorrow. Like, I mean, that's how bad it is.
Oh, dude, I was 30 seconds from missing one of my flights. I literally sprinted all out through the airport after telling them I was like, whatever's in my bag that you guys are trying to find, I was like, just take it. I need to go. And they just took it. It was a pair of, what's it called? Like, tweezers. I was like, dude, just have it. Like, I feel like this whole thing could have been, they put like 10 things in place after 9/11 and it could have been solved with just one, which was like, they lock the cockpit door now. You can't go up and see the pilots and get the little winks. Like, problem solved. But what kills me about this, Ted, I'm an efficiency guy. And you think about, okay, you sat there for 2 hours in line, right? Multiply that by millions of airline passengers a month in the United States, the amount of productive time and everybody who got there 2 hours early and just sat in the terminal and waited. So you're adding 2 to 2.5, 3 hours onto everyone's flight. The man hours that we are losing to this thing, the amount of money is not just what we're paying for Homeland Security, which is an obscene amount of money. I've looked it up. I can't remember off the top of my head. It's obscene. But then the lost productivity of everyone just sitting in these freaking airports and in these lines. And I'm just like, God. And then for them to have the balls to ask me to sign up for Clear, Ted, just balls, dude. I can't believe I can't believe it. I'm sorry. I try not to go off on this cast, but those guys, dude.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I was talking to another couple in front of us and we were sitting there and then like this other couple. And I was like, dude, I fly a decent amount. I have never waited this long. And the dude in front of me was like a surfer or something. He's like, bro, me and my wife travel all the time, all across the world. He's like, I have never waited in a security line this long. Like, I mean, when I, I've gone through customs before that was quicker than this.
Dude, and that's the new normal.
The actual security part, once they check your boarding pass, was like 8 minutes. I didn't have to go on the machine. It was just like walk through, like you're fine.
It's like, also, what are we doing up here?
Right. I told you years ago when we went to Arizona, Cobb, you were with me. I had spent shells stuck in the bottom of my shoes, is the way the shoes were designed. Put them through the x-ray. Nothing went off. And I'm like, how? Like, you'd think that would set something off. And then when I was flying out of Dulles, I brought home 3 wooden crab, like, mallets. Just because I was like, every time I'm at Terrans and they have crabs, or me and Sean do a low country boil, like, we need these. And then as I'm going in, I go, can I have these mallets in there? And they're like, we don't know. So they're like, you got to talk to the guy by the x-ray machine. I was like, okay, should I take these out? Yeah, okay, take them out. Okay, so those were fine. But a pair of tweezers, not fine. I'm just like,
security theater, Ted. It's BS, man. And you know what? I've flown in and out of Seattle at least 4 times this year. That is the new normal. I hate to say that, but it's true, dude. Getting in and out, you're losing a day of your life, even for a 4-hour flight, which should be nothing. You lose a day of your life.
Yeah. And you know me, I was just salty as I got off work, came home, grabbed my bag, and got to the airport. So then when they start the beverage service, I was like, can I just order 2 beers right now? And she's like, yeah, okay. And I was like, and the guy next to me kind of looks at me and I go, bro, I just got off work. I haven't had a beer. I was like, I thought I'd have time in the airport, got here 2 fucking hours early, and I spent the entire time in the line. Like, I didn't even have time to pee. Like, luckily, I just went straight to my gate. I think if I had stopped to pee, I would have missed my flight.
That, dude, that's what I'm saying. And like, is it really necessary to stress everybody out and waste everyone's time for this BS security theater act that they're doing? Like, it doesn't even catch anything. Like, half the time, I can't talk about this. It just pisses me off. Honestly, especially since we're paying for it. That's right. What gets me.
I would just tell people, if you have a flight this summer, get there extra early. Like, I'm generally a guy that rolls the dice and shows up like, 90 minutes early. Thank God I got in there 2 hours early.
Dude, I used to be 45 minute guy. No longer. No. Those days are done.
Even in Dulles, I got through security plenty of time. And then like, I was having a beer, and usually I'd be like, I'll get another beer or something. And I was like, I don't know, man. I'm freaking out. Because there's so few flights now. It's like, you got to make your flights.
Dude, you know, that brings up another point, which is now the airlines are measured. God, man, I hate that we even got into this, but I kind of don't. I'm kind of happy. So, dude, the airlines are measured by like the number of flights that are on time, right? So now what they do is they'll be like, this flight is leaving at 8 and it's going to take 5 hours to Austin. When in reality, everyone knows that's a 3-hour and 58 minute flight, 4 hours and 10 max. And they say, okay, it's leaving at 8. And then they're like, we're going to start boarding at like 7:10, which means like, you got to get there. So you get there, you do the security line. So you get there at 5:10, do the security line, whatever, get in like 7:25. They're like, okay, we're taking off. Like, we got enough people. Like, everybody else is effed. Like, we're just taking the standbys and we're going. So then of course they're like, we magically got in early. Like, you guys should thank us and be happy. It's like, dude, you didn't get in early. You screwed all of us out of 3 hours of our life on the front end of this thing. And then they're sketch. Like, boys, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't want to be banned. So I don't want to say anything that's going to make it so I can't fly on US Airlines, but I don't
just
know.
Please don't say it on this podcast. Say it.
I know. I'm just saying.
I'm with you. It's just, and then the other problem is too, is like, it's not the flight attendant's fault. It's not like the person working there. So like,
totally.
Even the TSA guy, when he took my ID, he goes, how you doing? I go, look, I know this isn't your fault, but I go, I'm not good. I go, this is single-handedly the worst experience I've ever had in an airport. Probably the worst customer service I ever had. Yeah. And he goes, well, just the luck of the draw sometimes. And I said, do me a favor, don't say luck of the draw to me right now.
Yeah, bad system. He kind of
stared at me. I go, look, I know it's not your fault. I go, but I saw 3 people miss their flights waiting in this line to get to you. And now, after 90 plus minutes, you showed up and there's 2 of you working this door? Yeah. Like, come on.
All right, boys, we took a turn to negative town there. I'm sorry. That's on me.
No, it's on me. I started it. But I mean, just like, it was awful. Now, with that said, my flights were great. Easy flights, flight attendants are nice. Like, not a big deal. Watched a couple terrible movies. So I'm like, and the thing is, air travel has us by the balls. Because it's like, well, I don't have a week and a half to drive across the country.
What are you going to do? Take a train to Virginia?
Wait, we don't even have enough fucking trains.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. And then they have the balls to be like, hey, for $100 more a year, Ted, you know, you could just skip this whole mess that you are already paying for and that we fucking created.
I know. Well, and the only seats I could get were business class. And like on the way back, like the one she was like, I guess I could serve you two more. And I was like, hey, I didn't want to pay in the seat. It cost me an extra $100. The drinks are free. Please give me two more beers. Let me at least earn this seat because the leg room isn't that big of a deal to me. She was like, all right. I'm like, yeah. And then she goes, well, we're out of IPAs. And I just go, whatever two beers you have. And then she started laughing. She's like, all right, I got you. I was like, yeah, like, come on.
Like, not now, Jessica. I've had a long day.
Right. All right. On a lighter topic.
I am a businessman in business class.
With a 2012 MacBook Air. I have the worst oldest MacBook. Except my whole damn tray.
That's good, dude. You got to send the message, you know, let people know you mean business. That's awesome.
Do airports have a higher number of hot women, or is it just because there's so many people in there?
Dude, I've thought about this too. They do have a higher number of hot women. I think it's a socioeconomic thing. I think one, like, wealthier women take better care of themselves in general, and they also tend to travel. And two, when women travel, they make sure they're looking good for whoever's on the other side or just whatever. So yes, they have a higher ratio than normal. There's always attractive chicks at the airport, and there's never a chance to even speak with them because they're going to Quebec or wherever, you know?
Yeah, there was already some attractive women. And then I'm in like the little shop in Dulles because my buddy likes magnets when people travel. So like, ooh, I can get a Virginia magnet and a DC magnet, right? But you know me, I'm staring at a wall of magnets. Like, do I get them this one? I just hear somebody behind me go, or next to me just go like, excuse me, I'm just trying to get the Gatorades. And I'm like, oh, sure, my bad. And I turn around and I literally went, oh, or not, oh, but I was just like, oh, yeah, of course. I was just so unsmooth. I just didn't expect this really hot woman. I was just like, yeah, sure, whatever. And I was like, ooh, yeah, of course. Let me get the fuck out of this entire aisle for you.
Wow. Hot chick privilege, man.
It was hot chick privilege, man. White tights.
Like, oh, my God. White tights?
White tights.
Load of mercy.
Like the little hoodie that's cut off. And like,
oh, done with the midriff showing?
Oh, man.
Come on. Boys,
she knows what she's doing.
Oh, wow. I just, God.
All right. As long as we're bitching about drama, Matt, you're on the hot seat tonight. First of all, what does LIV stand for in the LIV golf tour?
I'm not sure what LIV stands for. It's a Roman numeral for 54 because
they only have 54 people.
No, they have 48. They might expand to 54 at some point, but they have 54 holes instead of 72, which is played over 4 days. They have 3-day tournaments ending on Saturdays instead of Sundays. And I just
think, are you familiar with this upstart tour?
I know that it's a professional golf circuit that's like bankrolled by Saudi Arabia or their sovereign wealth fund or something, but I don't really know that much about it. Weirdly, actually, never mind. Not important. Go ahead.
So a big deal about this is like the PGA Tour is just kind of had a monopoly. And then people were like, oh, you can't go over there and play for them. And I get it. People are like, it's Saudi Arabia, like it's blood money, this and that. But like they are offering ridiculous amounts of cash. There's no cut, right? So in the PGA, if you don't make the cut, you're not going to make any money. PGA Tour doesn't pay that well. Most of it's from sponsors. So on this tour, there's no cut. The events are 3 days as opposed to four. And there's only a few of them. Imagine somebody goes, we'll pay you, like, it's got to be triple, four times what you're making now. And you'll work, what, Matt, a quarter of the time?
Yeah, basically.
Like, I don't know about you guys. I'm jumping at that. I'm jumping on that tour.
Yeah, you're basically getting 12 times as much money.
Less tournaments, shorter tournaments, less pressure in the tournaments.
Yeah, I'm in.
Way more money.
Where do I sign, boys?
And people are like, well, it's blood money. It's like, first of all, you drive a car, so you probably have oil or some of this blood money running your car.
Yeah, who's blood money? You're the one paying the money to the, yeah. Sorry, that's just, yeah.
Now, I guess my thing is, I don't, and I get it. Athletes are just kind of a lightning rod for people to go off on them. You know, it's like the NBA and people go, what about, you know, if LeBron James tweets something about politics, you'll go, well, you support China and this and that. It's like, look, for most of the main products you use in your life, you don't want to know how they're made. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I sure people, a lot of people love Jordans. Like, I love Air Maxes. Like, you don't want to know those conditions that people are making those shoes. But like, the Saudi thing is like this giant, like, I can't believe those guys are going over there and taking that money. I'm like, man, I would do it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, take this podcast as your paragon of hope. You do not want to know how the sausage is made. People don't want to know the pain and the sadness that we have to bear in our lives just to come up with something mildly entertaining. I mean, they have no idea what Ted's been through, you know, or Matt for that matter.
Thank you. All right, so Matt, like, writes it. So is it Brooks or Bryson that is the annoying one?
Both.
All right. I just saw that Brooks Koepka, like, signed up for that tour. And they have some big names, right? You got Phil Mickelson. Brooks is over there. Sergio Garcia. Dustin Johnson. Our boy Arlo White is the announcer for it now.
Wait, can you only play one of the tournaments?
No, you either play on their tour or the PGA tour.
Yeah, you can't do both?
No. And then the PGA tried to stop them from playing in the majors, but the PGA doesn't actually put the majors on. They're just kind of the organizer. So, like, these guys can go over there. Like, the tournament this week is in Portland. So you play half the tournaments. It might be less. You're going to make three times or four times what you make, and then you still get to play in the majors.
Wait. The LIV tournament is in Portland?
Yeah.
I thought you were saying all these games were played over in, like, Saudi Arabia on their courses.
No.
Wow, so they're just trying to, like, take over the PGA. It's like a legit competitor.
It's a worldwide tour with, like, the primary, like, five of the eight are in the States.
Wow, that's a good idea. Yeah. That's a good challenge. And the PGA has been unchallenged for years. I like this. I'm into the
Live. Dude, I mean, yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I'm excited. I mean, they tried to talk about the Brooks and Bryson rivalry. Part of that was authentic, and then it got, like, blown up. And I never liked either one of them particularly during that. And now they're both Live guys and I'm a PGA guy, right? Like, I like JT. I like Rory, you know, and, you know, all these guys, you know, it's a fun thing to just pick a side of, like, man, fuck these Live guys. Like, and then Brooks goes over there, like, you know what? I didn't even like you that much anyways, Brooks, get out of here. And
right. As the biggest golf fan on this podcast, would you not watch both?
I watched a little bit of Live, and I'll tell you what, man, when there is no cut, when you don't have the risk of half the people going home with nothing, and it doesn't matter if you're Tiger Woods or some schmuck that just made the qualifying rounds starting on Monday, you know, and it's pretty, you know, they always call it a meritocracy. And to me, that's where the drama lies. Not so much in the payouts. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see, basically, on the majors, that's all run by the worldwide golf ranking system, which right now the Live tournaments won't get points towards. So eventually all those guys will, if it stays the same, if they don't get those world ranking points, all those guys will stop being able to compete in the majors. But if the Live is granted worldwide ranking points, then they'll be able to play in the majors eventually. And it'll just be this bit. The majors will be like PGA versus Live, and it'll be exciting. Like, so I think it's a win-win. It's fun drama, but it's a lot of money, man. That's pretty crazy. They're nine-figure contracts these guys are signing.
It's just so much money. And I know, like, last year we were talking about for soccer, they were trying to have that Super League, and I was completely against that.
I was going to bring it up.
Yeah, well, the difference is that Super League, you were taking teams from all these different countries and kind of ruining, like, relegation and all those processes. Whereas, but those leagues actually pay a ton of money. Like the PGA was the only game, like basically worldwide, and wasn't paying that much. So that's why I think this is a little different. Like this is more of competition as opposed to just taking five or six teams and putting them in a league.
Yeah, it seems more like the UFC Pride situation. Because UFC, I mean, basically has a monopoly for guys who punch people in the face for a living.
Right, because it's UFC, and then what was the last big one that actually stuck? It's still...
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I know. I'm not helping.
But yeah, Pride was big. K1 was big. And then there's a couple international ones that are decent size. Oh, you're talking about Bellator, right?
Bellator, yeah. So you, Bellator tries, but they only get guys. And this is with kind of the live thing. It's like you're only getting either older guys or this or that. So like Kepka going over and DJ going over was like kind of a big deal. But it'll be interesting. If they can't play in the majors, do they come back? Are they fine with the money? I just, you know, like Dustin Johnson has what, one or two majors?
Yeah, they're headline makers that have won majors that, you know, aren't the top guys if you follow the tour. But the top young guys are staying on the tour for now. And the tour just literally, they just restructured their entire season today to take better care of the top 50 players.
Right. Okay.
Wow, because of that?
Yeah.
Yeah. God, yes. That's how big of an impact this is having, right? The PGA was like, oh, okay, we'll add a couple events. We'll add more money. Like
we'll add eight super tournaments with no cuts and huge payouts. we'll bump prices up another 54 million.
Dude, this is like we saw pressure on the NFL and pressure on the UFC both. Yeah. If you have a monopoly, you're going to exert monopoly control on the market, you know? Dang. Wait. Yeah. So, Matt, I feel like I overheard something that I don't want to gloss over. You said 9-figure payouts.
Yeah. Well, no contracts to sign, like 100 million over 4 years.
Figures.
100 million over 4 years. That's a QB contract.
Oh, my God.
If you're one
God,
of the most famous, recognizable golfers in the world, which they are signing, I'm just saying they're not the currently the best. Like, Will Zalatoris could beat any of those guys most weeks. He's just, you know, he's same with Colin Morikawa. Like, you know, those guys aren't that impressive if you follow the tour. They're a little bit past their prime. Brooks and Bryson have been injured, you know. But they're most of them have won majors, and a lot of them, I would say probably four or five of them, are reportedly on 100 million plus multi-year deals.
Okay. So as you've alluded to, I don't follow the tour. So am I naive to think that, okay, there are multiple of these contracts, right? This isn't one guy. This is like, you know,
at least
a field
five.
Of, yeah.
Phil,
am
DJ.
I naive to think there is no way they will ever make that money back on that investment?
Right. It's all sport. They just want to, you know, buy legitimacy in the West.
Legitimacy for whom?
For the public appearance of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
Which I was the timing of this is like they've been planning this for years. And if they knew the climate would be what it is now, I feel like they would have scrapped this idea and been like, we'll just give them $5 billion worth of oil when the time comes and be like,
oh, yeah,
hey,
well, prices
be really
double.
Public about it. And America will love us after that and we'll be good. We'll be like, everything all right? How much oil, you know, and we could just strike up a deal with them. With oil instead of them ripping apart the PGA. But like I said, I don't think it's the best strategy. The golf's not that competitive. And most of the guys aren't the best.
Dude, it's crazy. Ted, I'm just going to say this one last thing. I looked it up at one point. I don't want to give misinformation, but it's something. I want to say that Saudi Arabia was making like $240 million a day or something. Like they just give their export number. And I was like, okay, well, what's a barrel of oil cost? Whatever. Dude, it's like $200 million, $240 million a day that they're making. It's obscene.
Yeah.
Obscene. That's like beyond royalty.
All right. Well, so here's the issue, right? And sports guys, you know, athletes are always going to get the brunt of this. It's like, how could they take that money? And it's blood money and this and that. But also like, all right, well then I just think sometimes in this country, like I always say, two things can be true, but also like I have some issues with capitalism. I bring it up. But you can't run around banging the drum of capitalism and then be upset that these guys took bigger money for less work. I mean, isn't that the goal of most people? Make as most as you can and not have to work as hard.
That's my thing.
Right? What do we always say? Work smarter, not harder.
The market won for those guys. And I think the market will win for the PGA Tour. I think they have the better product. They have the better golfers. They just restructured to be more top heavy and reward the top guys in a similar way where they'll keep the young guys and they'll be fine. And, you know, but I definitely, it's been a lot of fun to watch. And I don't understand, you know, you don't have to peel back very many layers of the onion to get to the hypocrisy. If people are against quote unquote Saudi money, I go, I'm a capitalist that believes in the market. Like, you know, a lot of golfers are Republicans, you know, and like, I wouldn't call myself one of those, but I'm a capitalist. I believe in the free market. And it's like, what do you think's happening right now, dog? Like, I thought this was one of the things we saw eye to eye on. And, So that's been fun to watch the, you know, with the circus. But, you know, overall,
And most people have to make these decisions in their lives. Like, sometimes you might have to move to an area of the country that you don't like because the job offers you more. You know what people do? They pick up and move their families. Right? Like, yeah. I was lucky enough that my job brought me to an area that I really love.
I was going to say, dude, we know it's raining in Seattle, man.
Trust me, that's not me. I would have a tough time moving anywhere else these days. But I mean, I was saying, like, people go through this every day in their lives, right? I know one person that ever turned down a promotion. Turned down a promotion for a lot more money. Now, granted, this guy was already making a ton of money, but he had like 7 kids, right? It's a guy I used to coach with years ago, and he goes, Jesus. I turned it down. And I said, why'd you turn that down, man? He goes, I already make enough for my family, right? He was doing well. And he goes, also, like, I don't spend much time with my family. So the times I can coach my kids in baseball is like my time. And he's like, with that new job, I wouldn't have been able to do it. But most people are always going to take more money. And like, I don't know, like, that's how you hire people away, right? Look at the restaurant industry. You start at a shitty local place. Then maybe you work at a chain place. Then if you're waiting tables or something, you get to the level you're going to work in a nice steakhouse. It's like, you only got to work 4 nights a week here, but you're going to make this much more money. Like, okay, I'll go work there.
A lot of people will work more hours for more money in a new, less desirable location.
Right.
Especially if the cost of living was cheaper.
Right. These are hard decisions. I'm like, I get it. I get why people are upset, but also I don't blame those golfers. Like, yeah, go.
Yeah.
Get your money. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with ratings and with the PGA, but I think it's going to keep happening. I think these younger dudes are going to be like, screw this. Let's just go over there and get paid.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. There's a lot of honor in the game and integrity and how you have to keep score and, you know, how it works. And so I do think some of that history is important there. And I do think Phil Mickelson was right in the quotes that, you know, got him quote unquote canceled before he signed for an alleged $200 million. So that was a great cancellation if I ever saw it.
Again, I was talking about it this weekend. I was like, please, somebody cancel me like they did Aaron Rodgers or they did Joe Rogan for hundreds of millions.
And today, that legendary quote became so true with how the PGA Tour operates. He said it's a once in a lifetime opportunity to fundamentally change the way the PGA Tour operates. And it's like he was brass. He's honest. He did not lie, and he was proven further proven right today, and like got paid $200 million in the process. So shout out Phil Mickelson. I don't think lives as entertaining as the PGA, you know. But yeah.
All right, Cobb, you'll appreciate this, right? So Phil Mickelson could still play in the U.S. Open, right? So when he came out, the U.S. Open played. What was it like?
Boston.
What was the song? Something about all about the money or all for the money.
Oh, when it came out in Live. Yeah, at the first Live tournament, his walkout song was like, I forget the band, but it's that song. It's like, money, 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 money.
Right, because the USGA did it to him when he teed off at the US Open last week.
They did it when he teed off?
It was a different one that was like, all about the money.
Okay. Dude, I mean
it is getting petty.
This is WWE level, like, soap opera. I've been glued to my phone. Like, do I have to take a dump? Maybe we'll just run in there and check so I can check Twitter for no reason. Like, type stuff. And, you know, it's been, yeah, it's been amazing. So, yeah, it's a good time to be a golf fan.
And this, like, they're talking about blood money. I mean, this is the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia we're talking about here, which was literally installed by the U.S. government, the Saudi royal family, A. B, who built all that oil infrastructure over there? The United States, hint, hint. C, who refines all that oil, which is the main, like, value add? Number one, like, oil refining nation in the world, United States. It's like that blood money is on our hands more than it's on the Saudi people at this point. I
was born in 86. As long as I've been alive, like, the American way, you know, of capitalism and the free market has been like, end up doing a lot of business with the Saudis with oil and guns, and that's just the way it is. And, like, I thought that was a fact of life this whole time.
Right.
And now all these Republican golfers are like, what is this? What's Phil talking about?
Dude, that's wild. That literally the US, like, controls. That's insane. People are wild,
hilarious.
Man. Yeah. Geopolitics, boys. See, people say this podcast is all surface level, but look at us. Geopolitics.
I thought golf sports was escapism, for the record. I've been sucked into all this background and, like, all these nuanced views of, like, man, I just want to watch the guys hit the ball in the hole faster than me and less shots. You know,
who's the heel?
I mean, Mickelson. Phil is the heel in this. 100%.
It was such a huge turn today that he was right and the PGA just restructured so hard. Like, damn.
Phil Mickelson, for my money, doesn't come off that bad because he's right. He's like, I want to change the PGA. But, like, damn, Brooks caught some shit because he spouted off, like, 2 months ago, like, I'm not going over there. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, yeah, they named a price that was good for me.
Price, so you said $85 million? Yes, sir. Where do I sign?
No, he had to sign for more than Bryson, and Bryson was $100 mil. There's no way.
Brooks is crazy. Way too petty for that. And boys, Bryson's that is crazy.
But was like, it was a business decision for me and my family. Like, you're single with no kids, dog. Like,
what do you get to say that? I've used that term.
That's awesome.
He might have kids someday. So much money. You never know. Trust me, you never know.
Yeah, he caught it. He said, "My future family." Later,
I trust you, Ted.
Quote.
God, that is right. Obscene.
We gotta take a break. I just wanted to give a shout out real quick. We drove like 50 minutes from my brother's house over to the Appalachians and went to a brewery called Beer Chase. If you're ever in, like, and it's that part of Virginia where, like, Maryland's only like 30 minutes away, West Virginia is like 35 minutes away. But boys, I'm telling you, on the mountain, like, it's the only, like, real mountain view. It was awesome. And we went there at 3 p.m. on Father's Day. It was packed. Like, we just had a couple beers there. But, I mean, it reminded me, like, the only brewery I'd seen that packed was probably Crux in Bend. Which, by the way, you know me, I was all pumped. I was like, let's do breweries. I wore my Crux shirt. Like, I was trying to get people to talk to me. Like, no, he's like, yeah, we don't really give a dude. I'm just like, no, it's impressive. I thought only we had cool breweries. Like, you East Coast people are trying, too. Yeah, Bear Chase, awesome spot. Also, all right, real quick, nightmare scenario though, right? So going out there, this road is like two lanes on each side, right? But it's like a highway, so they're cruising. So, you know, like those big intersections in a highway where you can make like a left, the other person to make a left, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So as we pull up, there's an accident that just happened, right? And it's blatantly obvious some person was coming from where the brewery was. So we sit there for a second, and then Chris is like, maybe I should drive around and we'll just make a U-turn. And we're like, that's not a good look at 3 p.m. on a Sunday to get into an accident leaving a brewery, right? So we stay in there. We literally have two beers, check out the scenery. When we were pulling back out, there was a person in cuffs. And I was like, did you try to like get across the highway and gun it? I'm just like, first of all, you shouldn't have been drinking and driving, but I'm just like, God, that sucks. Sunday afternoon, beautiful Sunday, and you tried to like make a turn or something you shouldn't have, and now you're going to jail. It's like, oh, that's awful.
That's a tough Father's Day.
Oh,
it reminds me of my own father. I'm just kidding.
Right. I don't think I've ever seen your dad even drink a drink.
No, I know, dude. Honestly, I was thinking, whatever. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Man.
But yeah, Bear Chase. Look it up in like Western Virginia. It was a great spot. And what was the other one we went to? Flying Ace was pretty cool too. All right, one more quick story. So Flying Ace is an old farm, right? So by the time we make it over to Flying Ace, now it's like 4:30. So we can find parking. But one side is a distillery and one side is a brewery. But if you're on the distillery side, because of the rules, like you can't take your drink over to the brewery side and you can't take a beer to the distillery side. So as me and my brother are walking in, there's these two couples behind us. They're already having a good day. And the two dudes are smoking cigars. And they're a little older than we are. So like I open the door. It's kind of a long line. And I hear the guy go, "Can we smoke our cigars in there?" And I just hear my brother go, "I don't care." Right? So they walk in. And I'm like, oh, like it's Virginia. Smoking sections are everywhere. It's not like Washington State where you got to like walk away. Like you could pretty much smoke outdoors. But I'm like, it was not even two minutes. Somebody's like, "You guys can't smoke your cigars indoors."
I don't
That's care. Awesome.
Oh, yeah. They literally bought a bottle of liquor and then just walked back out and left. I was like, I don't think they even stopped for a drink. I was just like, all right. But I thought that was pretty awesome. And then, Bob, you'll appreciate this. There's one thing the Smith boys love besides chicken wings. It's a giant pretzel. So it's the afternoon. We've had a couple drinks. Like, all right, Flying Ace has a new barbecue joint that's in there. And they have a giant pretzel. And we were talking about when we were in Milwaukee, Sean and Will, we never got the giant pretzel the second day. Chris and I were pissed. Not really pissed, but you know, like busted balls.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so we're like, all right, like no question. We're getting the giant pretzel. Guys, like, we're out of giant pretzels.
Oh.
Here we go. All right, we'll get the queso. So then you get like one of the little vibrating things like for a restaurant, which I haven't held in forever. And mine goes off and I come up there. The dude running the kitchen is like pumping stuff out. He's like, "You guys get these sandwiches?" We're like, "No, we got the queso." And he goes, "We're out of queso. It got 86. And I just kind of look at him and he goes, "All right, we'll make you a short rib or a pork belly nachos instead." And we were like, all right. So we wait like an extra 10 minutes. But I was like, I think the pork belly nachos probably cost more than the queso, but we got a free upgrade.
Nice. Wow. Dang. That's, you know, wow.
Take the W's where you get them, Cobb.
Yeah, definitely. Especially lately.
Especially sure. On the tail end of some L's.
Right. Like, we've been like doing stuff and like hanging out. I was like, you know what? This will be okay. This will work out. Like, this is actually a good thing for us.
Love it.
All right, let's take a break here. We'll be back in a sec. All right, welcome back. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. You know what? Colleges are hard to get into. Not Brown, though. If you have four grades, you want to go Ivy League, go to Brown. All right, Cobb, do we have some emails?
God, Ted, honestly, I always appreciate your professionalism. Like, we can be talking about whatever, like, just off-color, ridiculous subject in the break. And it's like, I just picture you like, oh, God, like, the zombies are eating our faces. And welcome back to the podcast. It's great to have you with us tonight. And we'll be doing the charity donation, as usual, for our local bands. So reach out. Now back to easy listening.
Part of that is just working on the men's room day in and day out. Like, there's been low times going through a breakup or whatever. And it's like, you just got to remind yourself, right? For the people that are listening, like, the podcast is a little different. I'll talk about some problems, but like on the men's room, like these people are stuck in their cars and traffic. Like, I gotta bring it. You know, it's like being an athlete. Like, you step between those lines, you gotta go play.
Yeah, honestly, it's true. And like, sitting in traffic, like, I don't want to hear about your problems.
You know?
Right. Got enough of my own problems, Ted Smith. Hello to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Congratulations on 300-ish episodes. I think I've been listening since day one. I'm thankful to have gotten to know you all, and I'm grateful that the podcast is still going. You're a special bunch, and I feel lucky to be a listener. Smiley face. Some of my favorite memories of the podcast are, 1, the old Cobb topic bell. 2, the naming of the U.S. egg. 3, explaining how air fryers work. which I had one fail on me last night, and I ended up almost burning my whole building down and then going to a Waffle House at 1 a.m. But that's a story for another time, Michelle. And best of all, everyone in unison repeating, all the land.
All the land.
When someone writes into the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
All the land.
Thanks for the memories and cheers for 300 more. Michelle.
Yeah.
I think technically the U.S. Egg was named in my place of Belltown.
Oh, yeah. When we all started chanting it.
Yeah, it was a Christmas party.
That was
maybe
awesome.
The Marilyn Monroe one.
Jesus.
Oh, one of the best.
That only came up twice with my cousins.
I think it was a year before Marilyn Monroe, if I remember correctly.
I mean, you and George are both good athletes and quick people. I don't know that I've to this day seen you two move as fast as you did when Marilyn Monroe goes, can we move this table to get some room? I mean, you and George, like, I didn't even know you guys were in the room. You both were just on a side moving the table, like, go ahead.
Favorite podcast moments. Favorite moments from the cast that I can remember have to be Ted's dolphin girl story from Meltdown.
Oh, I melted down.
God, I know. RIP, dude. I hope she married somebody great. And Matt's date with the feel free to use the wait. Okay, hold on. I gotta research this. Oh God, actually, I don't know. And Matt's date with the, and then he put in parentheses, feel free to use the currently politically correct term. Matt, what's the current status on that?
I don't
I think transsexual is still fine. Just back in the day, we used to say tranny when we're not supposed to.
We said T-girl. I thought we
yes, this says T-girl.
Back in the day, it was kind of fun. It says girl in it. We just kind of distinguished a little bit real quick there at the beginning. I don't know.
Okay, that feels, as long as it's not hateful. I mean, it's all
absolutely
love, so.
Not hateful. I went on a date.
Yeah, that's true. Right.
I know. I almost forget that. My favorite part of the story is, do you want to do some Tina?
Well, you know, I mean, it's a bummer. That's what got remembered about it. I thought it was a cool, you know, moment. But yeah, you know, it was an epic line. Like, she knew how to party. Give it up. I couldn't keep up. With most people, you know, I'm pretty legendary. And with that one, I was like, all right, you got me.
You're like, that's, yeah, you're on another level.
Okay.
Right, like, I'll date. You know, like, I'll go on a date with you. But like, I'm with you. Matt, I feel like smoking meth is a fine line to draw.
You should know your lines, but you got to find them first. And man.
Ted, has anybody ever like just partied too hard for you where you're like, okay, like I'm out. Like, like a woman or like somebody on a date where you're just like, okay, like I got to walk away. You win.
Years ago, I went on a date with a girl that was super attractive and this and that. Like, I'm not. Like, I feel like I've gotten better over the years about being on time, but I'm certainly not Mr. Punctual or Mr. Early. She showed up an hour late.
Still there? Oh, geez, I'd be gone.
She kept texting me. And then we have but the bar was like close to closing. So we have a couple drinks there. And she's like, oh, we can go to another bar. I'm like, cool. We get in her car and she had a bong in her front seat. And I was like, man, I know people smoke. Like, how are you driving and ripping a bong? And that was one where I was like, all right, that might be a little much. Like, I mean, Matt, we're good smokers, but I feel like car bong person is a different level.
Wow.
I had a bong, right? Not a ball. She run like
at my wildest, you know, like I had a bubbler that I'd keep in the car, but sure. Like that was it.
Yeah. Bong's pretty heavy duty for the front seat of the car.
Yeah.
I had something sort of similar, like when, so I used to run like a hookah lounge up on Capitol Hill in Seattle, and, you know, we'd party, we were open till 3 a.m. So like people would be partying late night, whatever, you know, no big deal. Some girls came in right before close and they're pretty attractive. There's two of them. They mentioned that they were professional dancers and that they would like to do some dancing. Of course, the whole staff is excited. We lock the doors, decide we're going to hang out for a while, have some, you know, alcohol, whatnot. No problem. So then the girl, like, we're hanging out, like, nothing really happens. The girl was like, hey, I want to go grab something from my car. Like, do you want to walk me out there? And I was like, okay, cool. Like, this, you know, I don't know, semi stripper type chick, like, wants to hang. And I was like, dude, she's like a little bit ratchet, but like, I got nothing to lose. It's 3 a.m. We go to her car. And I remember, like, so you know the Murder QFC, Ted?
The one I go to?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Well known by the Seattle Vice Squad as like one of the worst places in the city. So we go and on its roof is a park.
My grocery store.
Yeah. Yeah. We're Ted's shops. Ted, Actually, no, that's too long to go into, but I feel like you feel comfortable there. So there's a parking garage on the roof, and we go up there. We're sitting in her car, and this girl just busts out some tinfoil and a torch. And she's like, "Do you want any?" And I was like, "Do I want any what?" And she has a little glass pipe, and homegirl just freebases OxyContin in front of me. Wow. I was just like, okay, like I'll sit here and be cool, but like you are too hardcore for me.
Yeah. The only thing I have similar to that was back in the day before weed was legal. I went with a buddy who generally had a taste for like the underworld. And he's like, "We just got to go over this house. Like, we'll pick up weed." I'm like, "Cool." And same thing. We got in there and there was like people smoking shit off foil. And like, I mean, like I was just like within 2 minutes, I was like, "Dude, get your weed. We got to get out of here. This is like a bad drug den. Like, I'm pretty sure your buddy is a major dealer of some sort." I mean, this was.
Yeah, it's like a trap house.
Right. It was like 15 years ago. But I was just, that was one time where I was like, get me out of here. Like, this is bad.
Too much. Too much. Okay, so Dolphin Girl from Meltdown, Matt's date with the T-Girl. And on a different note, I'd love to hear your guys' take on the LIV golf situation and all the drama around that. You got it. Love the cast. Keep up the great work. Haven't listened since day one, but I've heard every episode. LARP on from your northern neighbor in Victoria, BC, Jordan.
Well, Jordan, I think you very much enjoyed the first half of this podcast then.
All right. Go. So we got quite a few more. I'm only gonna be able to get to one more, and then we'll just do the other ones on next episodes. Is that cool, guys?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay.
Cool. We'll get to them, folks. Don't worry.
Hey, fellas, big ups to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Been a long time listener. Listened since 2013 or 14. Can't remember. And wanted to say congratulations on the 300 eps. You guys always provide me with some laughs and misinformed insight. That's so accurate, dude. Misinformed insight. God. Yeah, accurate. So thanks for all of the hours spent listening to the tales of Decepticons and Alley Cats. To answer the recent Cobb topic, I have several favorite moments and memories from the podcast. Number one for me has to be the legendary T-Girl date episode. That episode gave me a newfound respect for the CEO, Matt, and encouraged me to be more open-minded in my own life. Number two has to be the infamous John Moffat interview. Absolute chaos. I loved it. Wow. Dude, you're one of the very few people who got to hear that. Number three has to be the Phoenix Jones interview. Just a cool story that I wasn't expecting to hear. Honestly, I could go on forever. Those three episodes live in my mind rent-free forever. Congratulations yet again, and long live the year of the hustle. Cheers, Mikey Dubs.
Thanks, Mikey. Oh, man.
Thank you. Those are fun ones.
Yeah, man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we could probably sit here one weekend and do a whole episode just talking about that Moffat thing. God.
Yeah, I know. I just don't want to out the man, you know. That was a wild episode.
Yeah. All right, well, let's check in with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's maddening.
Hey, what's good? What's maddening?
Whoa. Check out with what's maddening.
Well, in addition to all the live drama that I've been following, I did go out and golf in person. This is the time of year where all the courses that are usually like either closed to the public or $100+ for 18 holes are now like $25 to $30. And it's just locals out there most of the time. You know, there's a few hot tourists, but usually they can't hang and they're out there very early. And these ones that are on sale are like 9 o'clock. And then you're still out there, you know, around noon when it starts cooking, but you're not in the like the real heart of the afternoon. So, but the tourists are going to get out there at 7 to try and beat the heat. You know, I wear my big hat and my sun sleeves because I'm just like, I don't want any more sun anymore. Like, I don't need an extra tan. So get out there when it's cheap.
What's a sun sleeve?
They're like those sleeves, those shooting sleeves basketball players wear, except they got UPF 50 sun protection.
Huh. All right.
So instead of having to reapply sunscreen or wipe my face and get sunscreen in my eyes, I can just wear those the whole round. And it's Under Armour, basically, it feels like. So, yeah, those have been money.
And then the big floppy hat, I got one that I can get wet and it's like a cooling hat. And then, yeah, that'll be a game changer out there around hole 12 or whatever. Cause it is hot. It's June, but I had a great time out there. I got paired up with this other guy. That's like, he was 26. He thought I was his age. He was like 10 years younger than me and thought I was his age, which I was pretty pumped about.
Nice.
Right. And we had a lot of fun. We both shot really good rounds, which was good. Cause I was knocking an 81 off my handicap. So, I went back out and shot an 85 on a course I'd never played before. So I was pretty happy with that. And pretty stoked that, you know, I met a guy that loves golf, moved down here actually to work at the plant that takes sewage water and turns it into clean water that could be drinking, but the public's not ready for toilet to tap technology yet mentally. And we're not that desperate, but they're ready. And instead they sell that water to golf courses down here so we can keep playing in the desert, you know, with sewage water that people wouldn't want to drink after they clean it. So we're like, all right, cool. We'll have green courses, you know? And so I thought that was really cool that he's like, you know, he's like, I love golf. I love the environment. I moved out here to work at that plant right down the street. And so, yeah, that was great. And then, while I was out there, I got a text from my childhood best friend, who lives in LA being like, I'm coming out to Palm Springs. And he was on his way. And, you know, probably 2 hours after the round, I'd say I was over at the resort with him and his kids and playing in the pool. And, yeah, it was fun going to a nice resort that they were at. Their nanny has a timeshare there. And I was like, damn, this place is cool. Like, we got a lot of nice resorts down here. I just don't go to them all the time. And it was fun. You know, his kids are a blast. And, you know, they had 9 pools on the, I played golf at the Marriott resort right there. Like, it's one of those courses. It was $25, but you know, being in the pools and seeing the whole grounds was a lot of fun. And, his kids were a blast. They came over on Sunday for Father's Day. I didn't even realize it's 5 blocks away. And it was such an ordeal for them to take 2 kids that far. And it just, but they finally made it on Father's Day. I went to the nice grocery store, got a giant tomahawk steak, and
saw that thing too.
That thing was massive, boys. And we nailed it. Shout out to Tyler. She was like, as soon as we got home, she was like, take that out, salt it like crazy, and then put it back in the fridge. Like, I mean, we were not going to waste a second because we were going to make it that same day. But we got the salt on there, tenderized it early enough, and it was just, yeah, awesome. So a lot of fun, you know, seeing the early stages of life from a guy I grew up with. And it's like, damn, these are like my, you know, this is the next generation. And, you know, if my brother Luke still listens and hears this one, shout out, he's about to have a baby. So I'll be a real uncle. But it was fun, you know, playing Uncle Matt all weekend and yeah, having a blast. So that's what I've been doing all week.
Yeah, in the break we were when we were off, I don't know if you guys knew this, I went to the symphony 2 weeks ago.
Whoa.
Yeah. Never been. Highly recommended. Awesome time.
Symphony. All right.
Yeah, I went to see a little Gershwin.
All right.
A friend of ours, Jason, Matt's old boss, he's a massive Gershwin fan. So me and my buddy Sean, we were like, we could get him a bottle of liquor. He has a bunch of bottled liquor. So we got him tickets to the symphony and like, it was just kind of fun being fancy for a night. I'm like, dude, like, you know me, man. Like, I had some drinks before I went in, had an edible, but like watching a symphony, like just watching the string session, get ready and like put up their bows. And then I was like, oh, this is like a fucking game. Like, I like it.
Ted Smith still being Ted Smith. He's like, you know, I mean, I had an edible and slammed a couple beers before heading in the mood. Rifled a couple beers before the symphony, but you know,
I was going gin and tonics or gin. Yeah, I was being fancy, like gin and tonic tonight.
You can make a couple G&Ts, rifle those in the bathroom before the symphony.
I will say one joke. They like, have you guys ever been to the symphony?
Nope.
Yeah. Royal Hall? All right. So they play like, they have like chimes and like, you know, when it's about to start, but like when the third chime like hit, I was like, anybody else feel like we're in the fucking Squid Game right now? That did not go over well.
That's awesome, dude.
It's all it reminds me of.
Honestly, man, just one of the best things about being friends with you is watching like you bounce off of the world and reverse. Like just because people have to remember that, like, you know, it's not like you turn it off when the show is over. Like you're still just Ted just bouncing around through regular society. And so it's just like it's funny watching people deal with that in whatever way they want to.
Dude, it was a wild weekend. I saw the Symphony on Saturday, played Pub League on Sunday. Cobb, good news. I scored another goal, but the team you own. I mean, look, we're still in line for the playoffs, so we're going to have to dig deep and work hard. But then,
it's okay.
And then after that game, after a Pub League, I ended up going to see the playoff match for rugby. And I was like, look at me. First time to Symphony, first time at pro rugby.
Don't worry, man. We're Pete Carroll guys. Peak at the right time. You guys take the time you need, get that injury healed. Like, but come playoffs, we want hardware.
Good thing you're not like the Liv owners. I'd be worried for you, Ted.
All right. Well, I think it's about that time.
Boop, doop, doop, boop, boop. Cobb topic.
This is an easy one. And honestly, just because I kind of love drama and hearing, like, I don't know what's going on in people's pasts, but I don't really have much of a setup. Just a Cobb topic, which is, what was the big rumor at your high school? And did it turn out to be true? I don't know. I don't even want to go into. Yeah.
Mine's anyway. Simple, and I'll leave the names out of it. I never had her as a teacher. She was my homeroom, homeroom, you just got to check in. But she was very attractive in school, all boys. The rumor was always that, like, somebody had put Spanish fly in her drink and she tried to hook up with one of the students, which I still think to this day, first of all, that would be like somebody drugging a teacher and then the teacher acting on it. So I still think it's nonsense, but that was always the big rumor. You know, what's the big rumor?
And it happened to be the hottest teacher at the school.
Yeah. And granted, the guy they said who was hitting on is still a great looking man to this day. But I'm like, that didn't happen.
Wow. Matt?
Man, I'm trying to think of specifics. I'm just thinking it's a bummer. And maybe in retrospect, you know, it's just what I remember, because maybe we could have had more of like a free love type vibe where I got more action, you know. But I would say there's a general vibe of slut shaming perpetuated by incel males and jealous, less attractive females. Just constantly, like, the poor attractive girls in our school, like, if they wanted to hook up with someone like me, there's no way they would have, just because of, I mean, it was crazy. And now we're more woke about slut shaming, and I hope that's cool. But, like, you know, after 8, I don't know what the age stuff in high school is, all cool to me, you know. But yeah, now I don't want to be like, yeah, let the 16-year-olds have at it. But yeah, you know, there's always rumors swirling about hot chicks that, you know, I forged my way to the friend zone with many of them and found out that those rumors were unsubstantiated and perpetuated by, yeah, jealous people out ruining reputations. Not cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, dude, think about, like, I can remember being in grade school and the first guy that admitted he masturbated. And we gave him the hardest time. We're like, you're a freak, like this and that. And then it's like, everybody's doing it. You just can't admit it. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Being a teenager is tough. That's a weird time.
I exposed myself a lot to my classmates. We talked about that, right? I wasn't a rumor. I was just a fact with, like, I have big testicles. Well, I would say now they're still on the larger side, but, you know, they've been this size since freshman year. And, you know, I showed a couple of bros at football camp because I thought it was funny. And then, you know, that was what I was known for. And, like, I was the kid with the balls.
Dude, I had a buddy. He didn't go to my high school. He went to my friend's high school. But he had one testicle that was much larger. And we used to call him Fat Nut. And when he got to college to play a sport, they were like, you got to go to a specialist. And he's like, no, it's just one giant ball. They're like, you got to go to a specialist. And they're like, yeah, one's just much bigger than the other. Can you imagine, though? Like, what's up, Fat Nut? Oh, all right. There we go. Matt, you're going to have to throw in another break there. We clearly went long tonight. That's all right.
The people a lot of bleeps.
We missed a week.
Yeah.
Other than that, we'll be back next week. We'll get all those emails read. Saturday's supposed to be nice as hell, man. Sounders kick off at noon. So if you're at the Sounders game, please say hello. You know I'll be there. And then, yeah, that's all I got. You guys got anything coming up you need to promote?
Nah, man, just chilling, killing $100 billing. Eat more popcorn. I'm scary.
Eat more popcorn. Oh, all right, there you go. For MCTP, for Cobb, me, Ted Smith, is the podcast. Cheers.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
No matter why your clients give, their donations can do so much more. With a donor-advised fund from DAF Giving 360, they can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or other non-cash assets like real estate and even crypto, while recommending grants at any time. DAF Giving 360 can offer you over 25 years of expertise, bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together to make a greater impact. Learn more at dafgiving360.org/advisors. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.